At 7 p.m., Kathleen Held was in a taxi heading home from JFK to Greenchester, a full 3 hours earlier than originally scheduled. It had worked out so perfectly, she felt almost giddy. She'd been able to switch to a nonstop flight from L.A., which meant, A, not having to change planes in Chicago, so a 50% lower chance of dying in a fiery crash, or so she reasoned, and B, that she'd get to enjoy a whole quiet evening at home alone. After 5 days with her sister's family, listening to Margot drone on about the value of alternate nostril breathing and being forced by Nick to sniff and describe the various strains of genetically engineered cannabis his company grew, pot! They all smelled like pot. She was starving for solitude. Her daughter Aggie was staying in L.A. for a few more days before school started, yet another forced attempt at cousin-to-cousin bonding. Margot's kids might as well have been a different species from Aggie, all long-limbed, sun-bronzed, and aggressively outdoorsy. But Aggie, sweet soul that she was, always went gamely along with whatever vigorous outings were planned. Bill, meanwhile, would have just left for the large and extremely important campaign fundraiser he was attending that night at a country club in Scarsdale. Had Kathleen switched to an even earlier flight, which, in fact, she could have, he would have tried to convince her to go to said extremely important fundraiser with him. And it would inevitably have led to another one of the silent, simmering, non-arguments they'd had so many of since he'd begun his U.S. Senate campaign 8 months before. Tonight, thank God, there would be none of that. No simmering, no guilt, no having to stuff her soft, middle-aged midsection into shapewear and make small talk with smug limousine liberals. Instead, just an easy, sleepy reunion when Bill came home. The kind where the light would be off and she might even be asleep, but would wake up at the sound of the bedroom door opening. She wouldn't mind. She liked listening in the dark as he undressed. The clink of belt buckle. The whoosh of cloth. A muttered curse if he stubbed his toe. When he crawled into bed, she would whisper a "Hi," and he would whisper a "Hi" back. Then he would roll toward her, kiss her cheek, and slide his arm over her belly, where it would stay all night, heavy and warm and familiar. She just wished their bedtime reunions weren't the only times things felt right between them anymore. When she didn't feel like she was being squashed into a corner by Bill's glorious career. Maybe, she told herself as she watched streetlights whip past along the Van Wyck Expressway. She needed to make sure that Bill knew, even if the rest of the world didn't, that she was more than just a supporting character in his story. She would start as soon as he got home tonight. Maybe she'd even wait up for him. Yes, she would. With that small gesture of engagement, she could begin the work of nudging the balance between them back into a better, healthier place. In the meantime, though, the evening was hers. By the time the taxi turned onto her street, she had started picturing where she'd be in a matter of minutes, sitting on the three-season porch in a fresh change of clothes. She imagined some loose, breezy linen ensemble that she didn't actually own, having a glass of white wine, catching up on her New Yorkers, ignoring the dog.